our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
We have not, any of us, ever witnessed Jesus Christ. None of us have. We believe the witnesses because they were there. They saw Him. They wrote it down. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we believe their testimony.
Do you have a choice in your own salvation? Does God miraculously force you to either accept Him or deny Him? And even if you do make it to a saved position, is it possible for you to fall from that position? Or does God force you to remain saved? Is salvation our choice or God's?
In 1 John chapter 5, as we continue our Bible study, the book of 1 John, in 1 John 5 verse 5, John says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And so we see from this, as we've said many times before, this is that continuous action, that present tense verb, believeth. Who is it that's going to overcome the world? The one who continually believes, who continually lives out his life in the belief that Jesus is the Son of God. Why is that? Well, as we talked about last time, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you constantly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you will live your life every day according to that. Because He is the Son of God, He has the right to tell me what to do and how to live, and so I live like He says. And we come now to verses, really, 6, 7, and 8. It says, "This is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. This faith that allows us to overcome the world, that we talked about last time, there's a faith that is involved, but it's not some leap in the dark. I've heard for all my life, teachers, preachers get up and talk about, well, you gotta have faith in God, and you can only believe so far, and then you have to just leap out into the dark. Folks, that is not biblical faith. That is not faith based upon evidence. That is just, well, I wouldn't really call it any kind of faith. That's just a weak leap and a hope that's not even really a desire for any expectation. It's just some weak thought process that goes through your mind. This faith that we have, it's not just some leap in the dark. It is based solidly upon what God has said in His Word. This faith that we're talking about is a provable faith. It is based upon things which are sure, things which are certain. Is Jesus the Son of God? Absolutely. How do we know? Because three say so. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. And then verse 7, now a lot of people, and I'll just go ahead and say this, a lot of people say verse 7 really shouldn't be in the text. I don't know that I agree with that. I don't know that I don't agree with it. What I can tell you is, whether verse 7 is literally in the text or not, makes little difference to what the rest of the Bible says. There are three that bear record in heaven, Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. Well, we've already talked about that before. We've proved that there's God the Father, that there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. And so whether verse 7 is supposed to be there or not, to me, is, at least in our discussion, immaterial. But it's very provable throughout the rest of Scriptures. But verse 8 says, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one." Now, let's not forget something here. The Gnostics were out here, and they were saying that they were making two different statements, that Jesus really wasn't deity. And then they were also, another group of them were saying that He wasn't truly flesh. Well, what does this mean? God says, oh, well, we can prove that. The water, obviously, is talking about His baptism, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. The blood that was shed for us, and the Spirit. Well, what was the Spirit there for? To make sure that what they taught was true, to give evidence for the things, the claims that they were saying. Remember what God said at Jesus' baptism? "This is My beloved Son." So God said Christ was His Son. That was His deity. At His baptism, God said, "This is My Son." Now, that proves His deity. The shedding of His blood on Calvary and These people here knew that he died on Calvary. The shedding of his blood proved his humanity. And then the Spirit, that is evidence in the miraculous gifts. You see, it's one thing to just say, hey, there was a God-man Jesus who walked on this earth. It's one thing to just say that. It's another thing to have something, some proof to be able to prove what you're saying is true. And that's what is going on here. These three testified, the water and the blood and the Spirit. The water at the baptism, what was said there? Well, this is my beloved Son, deity. Blood, his blood on the cross proved his humanity. And the Spirit, continual proof that Jesus was who he said he was because of the miraculous abilities that these people had. Well, what do we have in baptism today? We have a single picture here. The single picture of really the theme of all salvation, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 says, know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. And so baptism, in the picture of baptism, we see God's plan of salvation. We see the very gospel of Jesus Christ enacted in each of our lives. When we go through the death, that old man died, the burial, we are buried underwater, completely immersed, buried with Christ in baptism, raised. There's the resurrection. There's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, we have the death, the burial, the resurrection of each of us. And then we have Christ's blood. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, almost all things are purged by the law, are purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. For it is not possible, Hebrews 10, verse 4, for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And so it was by the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, that we are able to be saved. The Spirit is the one who revealed all of this to us. And sometime you can go back and read Revelation again. Read Revelation chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, and you can see how it is revealed. But in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, this is he that came by the water and the blood. And Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. This is the Spirit, and he bears witness. The Spirit is telling the truth. And this is how we know, through the Word. And so we get down now to verse 9, and he says, if we receive the witness of men, so here are men, and they are saying these things. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is even greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. If we're going to accept what men has to say, we will sometimes listen to what a man says and we will say, hey, he's reliable. But if we're willing to accept a testimony of a man, why would we not accept God's very testimony that through the blood of Christ, through the baptism of Christ, and through the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, why would we not believe that Jesus was who he said he was? And so God proves that Jesus was who he says he was. And he's proving it. And John is writing it really in reference to these Gnostics who were causing these Christians to doubt their faith. So Christian, let me just go ahead and say this to you. If there are those out there, and there are, who will constantly berate you, will constantly belittle you about your faith, that was happening even in the days of John. And so John says, no reason for you to get all upset, to get all bent out of shape because some other person is teaching some other thing. Just know this. We have believed. We have faith. God has shown that what he has said is the truth. We believe it. So you continue to believe it. And so that's what I would say to you as well. He says in verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave his son. It says he hath the witness in himself. Shows us that these people had faith in the testimony that they had received. They received the truth of Jesus and they accepted it. You and I, at one point, probably, if we've lived and we've been in the Lord's church for any amount of time, we have believed, we've obeyed the Word of God, and then at some point in our life, we've had to question something. Somebody comes along and they say something that we haven't heard before, and sometimes it might cause us to be troubled. And sometimes we might get all frustrated and get bent out of shape, but we need to just have this confidence that we have God's Word with us. It bears witness of Him. You and I can hold God's Word up to anything and tell whether or not it is the truth. Now, I want to talk about this word witness here. A lot of times we hear people say, we need to witness for Jesus. Well, the witness here is actually someone who was an eyewitness. These people were eyewitnesses. You and I today believe the testimony of witnesses. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They tell of the death of Jesus and his life and his resurrection. We believe it based upon their testimony. They're witnessing it. A lot of denominations claim that we need to witness for Christ. Some people, even in our brotherhood, say, well, let's get out there and let's witness for Christ. Well, let's not witness for Christ because we cannot witness for Christ because we have not seen Christ. Actually, this has become popular today based upon this theory of Calvinism, total hereditary depravity. And I'm not going to go through all the steps. You have unconditional election, and then Christ died only for those who would be saved, and that would be the limited atonement. And then there's this something called irresistible grace. That is that the Holy Spirit comes upon you and He forces you, really, to obey God. And they call that irresistible grace. And so what happens then is you go before your church, and in order to become a member of your church, you have to witness what happened to you that night. And so that's what they mean. Well, let's witness for... Tell me about your witness for God. Well, it happened to me. I was under a lamppost and saw a bright light from the sky, and now these people get to vote on you to find out if your witness is true or not. Well, folks, let me just explain something. We have not, any of us, ever witnessed Jesus Christ. None of us have. We are not Jehovah's Witnesses. We have not witnessed one single thing. We believe the witnesses because they were there. They saw Him. They wrote it down. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And we believe their testimony. And so we need to get back to what the Bible says. Do what the Bible says. Stop calling things by names that are not scriptural. And do what God says.